디바라라리 Yashoda Nandana Rajajana Randana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jayarada Madhava Kunjavihari.
Put it on
there.
Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari. Gobi Janabalava Givaradhari Gobi Janabalava Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Damona Tiravana Chari Jamuna Tira Bonachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Sthira Sattva Sri Srimad Chidandi Goswami Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Ashtatera Shata Shri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sikaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is the ninth canto, chapter 10. Oh boy, I did bring my glasses. I am missing my glasses, it seems. So, if anyone has a pair of reading glasses I can borrow, then I can read, otherwise someone else will have to do the reading. Thank you very much.
Hi.
Anyway. Maybe they fell out, actually, because I remember putting them in. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
9, 10. Actually, 54. Okay. Ekapatni vratta daro. Rajarshi charita suchi. Svadharmam griha mediyam Shikshayan svayam acharot Ekapatni vratadaro Rajashi charita suchi Svadharmam griha mediyam Shikshayan svayam acharot. Others?
Ekapatni vratadaro, Ladies, Ekapatni Vratadhara, taking a vow not to accept a second wife or to have any connection with any other woman. Raja Rishi, like a saintly king. Charitaha, whose character. Suchihi, pure. Svadharmam, one's own occupational duty. Grihamedhiyam, especially of persons situated in household life. Shikshayan, teaching by personal behavior. Svayam, personally. Acharat, executed his duty. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Ramachandra took a vow to accept only one wife and have no connection with any other woman. Any other women. He was a saintly king, and everything in his character was good, untinged by qualities like anger. He taught good behavior for everyone, especially for householders, in terms of varnashrama dharma. Thus, he taught the general public by his personal activities. Purport. Eka Patni Vrata, accepting only one wife, was the glorious example set by Lord Ramachandra. One should not accept more than one wife. In those days, of course, people did marry more than one wife. Even Lord Ramachandra's father accepted more wives than one. But Lord Ramachandra, as an ideal king, accepted only one wife, Mother Sita. When Mother Sita was kidnapped by Ravan and the Rakshasas, Lord Ramachandra, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could have married hundreds and thousands of Sitas, but to teach us how faithful he was to his wife, he fought with Ravan and finally killed him. The Lord punished Ravan and rescued his wife to instruct men to have only one wife. Lord Ramachandra accepted only one wife and manifested sublime character, thus setting an example for householders. A householder should live according to the ideal of Lord Ramachandra, who showed how to be a perfect person. Being a householder or living with a wife and children is never condemned, provided one lives according to the regulative principles of Varnashrama Dharma. Those who live in accordance with these principles, whether as householders, brahmacharis, or vanaprastas, are all equally important. Om Agnate Mrindasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chukmila Dena Tasmai Sigrave Namaha Mukham Guru Divachana Mukhavari Dakripa Tahangane Hare Krishna. Many, many important aspects of today's verse and class. Purport in class. Today is also Makara Sankranti, right? Yesterday is Makara Sankranti. But today is, in the calendar, it says it's today. In the Vaishnava calendar. Anyway. Huh? By the Vaishnava calendar, it's today. By other calculations, it's yesterday. Anyway. Give or take. 12... hours, 24 hours. So before we get into this verse, because we should recognize and honor this day in that respect, I'll just say just a few words about Makara and Ganga. Today is celebrated. Today, you can see many devotees are gone. They're all at the Ganga Sagar, doing the Sagar Mela, which is the second largest gathering, spiritual gathering, I think any kind of gathering, next to the Kumbh Mela in India, and probably the world. And the celebration is for the appearance of Mother Ganga. So today is the appearance day of Ganga Devi. And it coincides with this Makara Sankranti. And Makara also is the carrier of Ganga. And Makara has many meanings. There's many forms of the Makara. It can be portrayed, the Makara can be a half fish, half animal. But generally we understand Makara to be the crocodile. So this is Makara Sankranti. This is the appearance of Ganga Devi. Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Okay. So we have honored Ganga Devi. We already had so many days with Ganga Devi and her appearance just recently when we heard about the pastimes of the Kapila's interaction with the Pracheta. Is it? No. Not the Prachetas, the sons of who? Anyway, long story. You can see how bad my memory is. So we won't go into that right today. But you're encouraged to remember Ganga today. But rather, we want to focus on this verse. Lord Ram is celebrated as Maryada Purushottam, the greatest example of one who follows the ideals of the material life. He demonstrates how to act ideally in this world. We don't find Ram delivering a discourse like Bhagavad Gita. Krishna instructs Arjuna with the Bhagavad Gita, and he instructs Maitreya, Uddhava, the Uddhava, anyway, in the Bhagavatam, you see, I'm forgetting things, but anyhow, he has several times Krishna instructs, but Ram instructs by his behavior. Ram teaches us by his actions. Of course, he also speaks, but we don't find a discourse like the Bhagavad Gita in the pastimes of Ram. Rather, we find one after another his demonstration of the principle of Dharma. It begins with his acceptance of exile. Now, it can be argued that if he had simply said no to this request and exerted his privilege as a Kshatriya to accept the kingdom, then Sita would not have been kidnapped. You know, so many things would have been avoided. It's stated, Ram's killing of Ravan, in one sense, was could have been avoided. Ravan was, you know, over in his Lanka. But because Ram wanted to demonstrate, he wanted to show necessity of putra dharma, of following the instruction of father, he accepted exile. Of course, this verse tells us that he began his demonstration of ideal life by the ekapatni vrata, accepting only one wife, even though it was certainly not the norm of the time. It's pointed out his father had more than one wife. Especially for the Kshatriyas, it was the standard to have many wives. But he wanted to show that there was a higher principle. Why would one accept many wives? Generally speaking, there's one core purpose: sense gratification. To enjoy. Have many wives, have lots of enjoyment with those wives. Ram wanted to demonstrate that there's a higher purpose to marriage. That marrying for sense gratification, marrying for power, that's another reason why especially the Kshatriyas would marry a number of wives, to solidify alliances for more power. So for power or for pleasure, the Kshatriya would accept many wives. To boost their reputation, they would have many wives. For many, many other purposes centered on their own egos, they would have multiple wives. Ram, on the other hand, wanted to show that the acceptance of a wife and the entrance into the householder ashram was not meant for sense gratification and ego and power, but it was meant to complement and to support the arrangement of Varnashrama Dharma. The word dharma is used in this verse. And dharma is one of the most complex principles that we can attempt to understand in our Krishna consciousness movement. Today, there are arguments all over our society, at least in my role as being involved in different activities of the GBC. I'm not in the GBC myself, but I'm involved with the Constitution for ISKCON and a number of different things. I become aware of these arguments. I think most of you are aware of some arguments going on about Dharma, especially what we call Stri Dharma, the Dharma of women. Is it true? Everyone has heard there may be some different points of view here. There are so many complexities to Dharma. The term Varnashrama Dharma, would you say that we have a clear understanding in our society about what Varnashrama Dharma means? Who has a clear? Because I really would like to know. If anyone here has a fully clear understanding of Varnashrama Dharma, please raise your hand and I will stop this class right here and you come here and you speak about it. Anyone? We don't understand Dharma. Of course, it's the complication is that we're now in the Kali Yuga. And what do we know about Dharma? We learn from previous yugas. Here we have Lord Ram, and he's way back in the Treta Yuga. So you can argue, well, what was Dharma then is not Dharma now. Dharma is so complex. All the Puranas, and especially the Itihasas, Ramayana is an Itihas, a history. What's another Itihas? Mahabharata, right? So the Itihasas especially deal with the complexities of Dharma. The complexities of Dharma are so vast that it's practically impossible to simply convey them through just principles. Rather, you have to see these complexities in action. You have to see how Dharma is fulfilled, how by seeing how Ram fulfills Dharma, seeing how Yudhisthira fulfills Dharma. Don't look to Krishna if you want to know anything about Dharma. He's notorious for leaving Dharma aside. Of course, he does it very cleverly. He does it very, very cleverly. He's able to somehow rearrange things so that it's both completely outside of Dharma and completely within Dharma. This is Krishna's capacity. And then he tells us. What does he tell us? Sarva Dharmam Prityajya. So if you want to learn, you know, do you go to the person who says give up all Dharma if you want to learn about Dharma? No, Krishna's message is beyond Dharma. Mahaprabhu's message was beyond Dharma. Right? When Ramananda Roy was asked to describe the highest realizations, he began talking about the fulfillment of Dharma. And Mahaprabhu said, Yabhaya, this is external. Tell me about the realization of yourself. And Krishna is also focused on this. When we talk about dharma, we often find that dharma is used to organize activity in a hierarchical way, right? Someone is in one position, another person's in another position. So what's the duty of this person in this position to this person in this position? Who serves who? Who relates to who? You know, women and men and all these relationships which are generally focused around the differences between people. The different needs of people. The different abilities of people. And it in the Manas Samhita, it goes so far as to prescribe different punishments according to different people for the same crime. A Brahmin will receive one kind of punishment, a Sudra another. So generally we see that dharma, as being spoken of here, it's all focused on the differences between people in different positions, different relationships. For a man and a woman in the Grihastha ashram, the dharma is to serve each other in various capacities. For a man and a woman outside the Grihastha ashram, the dharma is to stay away from each other in various ways. So relationships change. So many different... Dharma prescribes those relationships, those duties, those activities. And sometimes we get confronted with difficulty where we can't really understand what is the relationship going on here. What's the right thing to do in this particular circumstance with this particular relationship, these kind of people, these kinds of mentalities? It can get very confusing. Ram lived his life in order to try to help us understand the need to place one dharma above another. Because there'll be conflicts in dharma. When you try to follow dharma, you're going to get into conflicting situations. Isn't it? There's going to be situations in which you have to analyze what is the right thing to do. So to help us do this, we have to go beyond dharma to the principle that Prabhupada ends with here. We've been talking about how dharma involves hierarchy. There's difference in relationships. People are, in one sense, higher and lower. One is ordering, one is receiving. These are the elements of dharma. A kshatriya has power over others. A Brahmin has their power. A wife has her specific power. The husband has his specific power. Everyone has their allocated powers. Their allocated power, they have, in each position, you have your distinct power. And it's said that if you try to usurp the power of another, even you have the quality to do it, Krishna warns, it's very dangerous. Your position comes with some specific power. And you have a right to exercise that power. But what happens when these equations, these power equations, begin to cause conflict? What happens when power and the sense of power becomes more important in an individual's psyche than their duty and relationships with each other? What is meant to be a system of balance, Varnashram, is based on a system of balance, balancing the natures, the different natures in society, harmonizing. In a conference just recently, I'm trying to remember the Sanskrit word. Any students of the Rig Veda here? Yeah? No? Okay. Anyway, in the Rig Veda, which I've never read, I don't know anything about, but Shonaka Rishi Prabhu, anyone? I know you know Shonaka Rishi. He heads the Oxford Center for Hindu Studies. He's read the Rig Veda. He says one of the most boring books that he's ever read. So he doesn't recommend it. But he was commenting that there's two principles, in special principles that the Rig Veda brings out, and which are then elaborated on and expanded and dealt with. They're like foundational principles for the whole Vedic system. One I remember is Ritu, and the other is something like that. Any Sanskrit people here? It means harmony. Yeah? The Sanskrit is something like Rina? Could be. It means harmony, balance. What is balance? Anyhow, can't remember the Sanskrit. Ritu, what does Ritu mean? Many of you may know the word Ritu because you know it's used in Hindi, and what does it mean? Seasons. But the sense is, what does seasons mean? Change. Right? Change. Things change. So things are changing. We change physically, mentally. We're always going through changes. And as we go through changes, we change, our duties and our responsibilities also change, so that we can maintain harmony. So the Vedas prescribe how to bring harmony within change, within a constantly changing world, a constantly changing environment, constantly changing bodies that we have. How do we harmonize? And the harmonizing principle is the principle of equality. Krishna stresses in the Bhagavad Gita over and over again the principle of equality. Here Prabhupada stresses the principle of equality. Now there's some, we began talking about how in our community there are different arguments.